The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. I'm your host, PJ. It's time for Boat Smart. In the studio with me is Stefan Schmidt. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. Beautiful weather outside. It I love saying that.
Yeah.
You know, that means it's boating weather.
We've had a bunch of days in a row for good boat.
Yeah. Good boating. So you are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call or text 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. We love to hear from you. I like phone calls better than text, but we'll take the text. That seems the way things go a lot of times.
Absolutely.
So you can call or text us, and we'd be happy to talk to you about maybe you're interested in talking about a boat, maybe a boat problem, maybe you want to talk about Georgetown Technical College, the Marine Service Technology class, anything like that. I'm more than happy to answer your questions. Boat Smart is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine located at 5621 By Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487. KeyMarineCenter.com. That's where they have all their inventory, all the specials they have going on. It is at KeyMarineCenter.com, so you need to check out their website. They have Mercury engines in stock from 40 to 200 horsepower. Special discounting prices on all Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki products, and they are your repower center for those products. So last week I mentioned that we had an announcement. So I announced an announcement last week, right? So now the announcement, I have it, and I have it on my phone. So I emailed, or they emailed me this morning, Key Marine did. So their big announcement is they've been in business on November for 20 years. So
oh,
they're
wow.
celebrating the 20th anniversary of Key Marine. And they have so much gratitude for their customers over the 20 years. They wanted to thank them for that. And so what they're going to do from November 1st up until December 20th, 20% discount on all labor. So it's a good opportunity to save some money with Key Marine. So they want you to come out there, talk to them, schedule an appointment, and get out there and save 20% on labor. So 20 years in business and growing. They hired several of my students out there. I have a lot of students working out at Key Marine. So just a great company to do business with. And congratulations on 20 years. And we hope you get another 20 years or more you know, at Key Marine. So you never know what the future holds for them. They're always thinking outside the box, always moving forward. So that's a great opportunity for you also to save 20% on labor. So just a great time out there at Key Marine Center.
Love so, that we're breaking news.
Yeah, you know, so... And so last week, or this week, actually, I was not at school for 3 days. I was not there, and I had to have a substitute teacher to do that. And I try to pick my own substitute teachers because I want my students engaged in a shop. I don't want them just to sit in the classroom because that's no fun, right? You got to get out in the shop, and you got to have some fun turning wrenches and fixing things. So
is it this gentleman across from me?
What's that?
Is it this gentleman across from me?
Yeah, so he... Yeah, so
I'll let you introduce him.
Yeah, so we're at. So we had the substitute come in. He was able to get my students out into the shop, and that really helps us a lot. But the way I kind of do when I have a substitute teacher, I look at it like this. So we run the shop in a business fashion, right? I'm the boss. We have people under me that are bosses, kind of situation, shop boss, you know, service advisor, those kind of things. So what we do is, what I do is, I say, you know, when the boss is away, what should you do? Do you goof off? Do you, you know, do you not come to work? That kind of thing, right? So the answer is you do exactly what you do when the boss is there, right? And I want to say this about my students. The majority of the class, I had a couple stragglers. I had a couple things going on. But the majority of my class did exactly what they were supposed to do. They showed up. They worked. They got work done. And they learned, you know? And you can't ask for anything better than that, you know, because we have to teach them those life skills, those skills, soft skills, working skills. And when I have a substitute teacher, part of that is to you need to go to work. You need to be there. And I can say that my role was no different. You know, my attendance was no different with me there versus having a substitute. You know, I sent out an encouraging email before I left, you know, say, hey, you guys, come on, listen. You know, you need to do this right and all that stuff. And they did. So, you know, congratulations to my class for being that type of class, to all the young people that are in my class that are learning soft skills and learning the importance of showing up to work. that kind of thing. So we not only teach about fixing stuff, we also teach, you know, how you should react or be as a, an employee.
Absolutely.
So that works out really well. I made it back into class yesterday and, you know, just praised them for all that and told them they did a great job. And I told them I was taking next week off. And they said, no. They like me being in the classroom with them, you know, or at the shop. So I'll be there next week. So I'm not, right. I don't normally take time off. It was just something came up and we had to do that. So it was just great to see that. So today I have a guest in the studio with us, and I do this from time to time. I'll have a student that wants to come on the air. I'll force them to go on air. You know, so it just depends on the situation. Cameron actually kind of wanted to be on the air, so we have Cameron with us today.
He's not shy.
You're glad to be here, right, Cameron?
I'm glad to be here.
So he's glad to be here. That affects his grade. If he wasn't glad, you know, grade goes down. But anyway, no, he really is glad to be here. So Cameron comes to us from the state of Maryland.
All the way up north.
Yeah, all the way up north. And we're going to talk to him about how he transitioned down here to our area and how he found the class. So the first question would be, how did you find Georgetown Technical College, the Marine Service Technology class in Pensacola, Florida? Tell me about that.
All right. So I wanted to be involved in the marine industry, and I started doing some research on where I can do it. And there was nothing up north, so I decided to come on down to Pensacola, looked at a couple schools, found this one, talked to Mr. Schmidt, and he said, come on down, we'll get you in here. So I made a big change, lived on my own. I'm only 19, and I came on down here and started going to class.
19 years old, moved down here. Now, your parents came the first time we met, right?
Yes, they did.
So the parents came with him, we met them, right, down here. So that was good. So we had a long conversation. From the time we talked until the time you came into class, it was about, what, a year, maybe?
About a year, yeah.
Because you were still in high school at that time, were you not?
I just graduated high school.
Just graduated high school.
Were you familiar with Pensacola before you came down here?
No.
Oh, okay, so brand new for you.
So brand new. You lived on the water up there, close to the water?
Yeah.
What kind of water do they have in Maryland?
Brackish water.
Brackish water. Yeah, what's the water?
The main one is going to be the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay, so you're on the Chesapeake
Bay. I'm off the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay, okay. So did your family have a boat?
Yeah, we have a boat.
Okay, so that's a good thing, right? So you're near water. They have a boat. That helps,
yeah.
Right?
What was your dad making you help out fixing the boat or anything?
No, he would just let me take it out. And I was like, well, I kind of need to learn how to work on something because I've always been hands-on working on dirt bikes, fixing four-wheelers and stuff. So I decided to work on boats.
Okay. And when you were up there, you worked at a place that had something to do with boats. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I worked at a couple places up there. I worked at this place called Titan Yachts. It's a custom yacht builder up in Delaware. He's my uncle. If you ever need a custom fishing boat, he's your man for it.
There you go. Advertising for your uncle. I love that. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I worked up there for about 3 years or so, off and on during the summers, learned how to really build boats. And I was like, this would be a great career path before I learned about what you can really do on a boat. I just knew a couple service things. But once I got a hold of Schmidt, it was just life after.
Yeah, when we came down, you know, I like to make a connection with people when they come to my class. And it's sometimes, actually, really, the reality of it is sometimes I may have an interview with a student where they come in the classroom and to a potential student, and for some reason or another, there's not a connection there, and you start realizing, well, maybe this isn't for you, right? Mm-hmm. So in Cameron's situation, when he brought his parents down, everything, we talked several times and on the phone a lot, and back and forth too after that initial conversation we had in my classroom, you know, I could tell that that's what he wanted to do, you know, and with him coming so far away, we also, since I'm familiar with Pensacola, that was a good question to ask, are you familiar with Pensacola? Because, you know, there are good places to live here and bad places to live here, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have a conversation with his mom about where to live and tried to help find apartments or a place to stay and that kind of thing as well. So that helped you too, right? Making you more comfortable with the location that you're at and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Schmidt really helped me out trying to figure out where to live. Stuff like that. He really showed me like the areas and where to go, where not to be, where not to take my mom after I took her there.
Stay away from these areas, right? You know. So I just think it's pretty cool though that you know, in a way, his parents said, you know, here's our son, help us take care of him. It's far away from home, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty cool.
That is
so
cool.
Yeah. So he's been down here. You actually went to work at another location.
Yep.
Here. Talk about that a little bit.
I worked at Blazer Bay. It's a boat. boat builder down here. It was enjoyable. I learned most of the basics about rigging and how to go about fixing a problem on a new boat. There's a lot more problems than you think you'll have with a new boat, just based off what people did in the past on that boat, going with the wiring. It's hard to understand how it all works until you actually learn it, and that's what I'm doing down here. So it's hard trying to figure out what the problem is until you pull out the Yamaha diagnostics program, and then that really helps you out trying to figure out what's going on with your boat.
That's cool. So listen, if you got any questions for Cameron, 850-437-1620 is the number, 850-437-1620. I've gone off script. I see. So before we do this, I always say, hey, what kind of questions do you want me to ask you? I have not asked any questions to him yet that he asked me to ask. So I'm throwing off script here. So we're good.
Hopefully
he's giving good
enough
answers, right? Yep. So, yeah. All right. So you did that to supplement, to help you with paying for school and food and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, stuff
so
like that.
So he actually went to work at 6:30 in the morning. And got out of there 1 o'clock in the afternoon or so, came to school full time at Monday through Thursday and worked there full time on Fridays, right? So yeah. That's really, you know, that's tough for students to do that. And I have several students.
Can I just
students.
Say my teenagers are never out of bed before 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Like 9 a.m., 11 a.m., okay, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm
good for you.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, when you look at my class as a whole now, I said I kind of had some younger people in there. We have to kind of teach them that kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times upbringing and parents and stuff like that, in his situation, I'm sure they wouldn't let him sleep in bed until like 11 or 12 o'clock, did they?
No.
No, he's out of bed. So you went home recently.
Not recently. I went home, when was it? I think it was Christmas last time I went home.
Okay, all right. So that wasn't, wow, it's time flies, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was one of the things your parents wanted, your dad wanted you to do? Help him with his boat?
Oh, help me with his boat, yeah. It was a big ordeal with his boat. He wanted some new stuff on there, wanted me to fix all of his problems. And growing up, I was always helping him with stuff, but it's a life changer when he's helping you holding the flashlight.
Yeah. So
that, I need more light over here.
One of the things I tell my students that we don't have friends or family in boat stuff. So we got to go for a break here.
Yeah, we have breaking news, and we're going to go to David Wayne right now.
We have Mark Wilson is the president of the Florida Chamber of Commerce.
And this is Governor Ron DeSantis is live right now at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. We're going to listen in on what he's got to say. Again, this is Governor Ron DeSantis live right now at the Escambia Sheriff's Office.
So we're here to discuss one of the proposed constitutional amendments that are going to be on your ballot, this Amendment 3. And you're going to hear from me and then some of these other folks. My view on these amendments is you should never amend the Constitution lightly. So as a voter, your default should start as no. They really, whoever's proposing it, has a high burden to show you or to prove to you why this would somehow be a good thing. To put in a constitution. And keep in mind, when it's in the Constitution, if things go bad, you can't. I saw some of the legislators here. You can't just tell your legislature, hey, fix it, because you can't legislate changes to a constitutional provision. So they're effectively permanent. The only way you could possibly change it is to then amend the Constitution again, which is very difficult to do, requires you go do another election, all this other stuff. So that I think that's the right frame of mind, especially from a more conservative perspective. A lot of ideas that get put out should not be in a Constitution, period. There's certain things that make sense to be in a Constitution. For example, we have a provision in Florida, 2/3 of each house of the legislature required to raise taxes. I think that's good. Maybe you don't, but the bottom line is that clearly is something that belongs in a constitution. Governor has a line item veto, some of these things. Just putting in policy on certain things, you know, really shouldn't be in the constitution to begin with. So that's just, I think, the general framework that it's appropriate to look at these. Now, this Amendment 3, it's also, I think, important to ask, where do these things come from? How did this get on your ballot? It's an interesting question because it doesn't just come out of thin air. Was this driven by citizens throughout Florida who really wanted to write this? No, it was not. This amendment was written by the CEO of a major marijuana company. And that company has spent over $100 million trying to get this passed in the state of Florida. So that's why it's there. That's why you see mailers and commercials and all this stuff, all because of a number of weed companies, but really one that's done over $100 million, traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange to a publicly traded company. Now, here's the issue. If you're a publicly traded company, could you write an amendment and then flush $100+ million into it if it didn't mean that you would be able to monetize the hell out of it? It would be a violation of your fiduciary duty. If the CEO of the company just wrote an amendment to be good for Florida and it wasn't maximizing the company's profits, that'd be a violation of the fiduciary duty. So the whole purpose of this amendment is to create and protect a certain business model at the expense of what is good policy for the people of Florida. And here's what I say. You're all you see is the summary on the ballot. Now, the CEO of the weed company wrote the summary, too. This summary does not tell you what's in the amendment. The Florida Supreme Court is supposed to police that, and the summary has to be an accurate reflection. This is not. And they made a huge mistake by allowing this to be on the ballot. So you have to read. So you're not going to get the constitutional text on your ballot. You have to go online to the Secretary of State's website, and you have to basically pull this document, and it's there, and then anything that's underlined is how they're going to change your constitution. And so what is it doing? First of all, because I've had some people, like, look, I think, and I think it's important to say, we do have legal marijuana in Florida now, okay? We have medical marijuana. People can get the cards. A lot of people have it. I see a hell of a lot of weed stores already in Florida. You ain't seen nothing yet if this passes, trust me. And so that's already there. That will be there if this is voted down. If it's voted in, you could see some underlying changes in the way that these companies operate. Well, they'll be focusing more on recreational. I don't know what that'll mean for the medical. I know there's a lot of doctors who are involved in it think this will be bad for that. Bottom line, if this fails, Amendment 3, medical is there. So we have that. But some people say,
good morning. It's 10:23 at News Radio 92.3. As you can hear, Governor Ron DeSantis right now is live. He is in Escambia County at the sheriff's office. He's joined by Sheriff Chip Simmons and several others. Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo is there as well. Now, we're going to continue monitoring this in the newsroom, but we're going to send you back to your regular programming right now, and we'll have more on this at our bottom of the hour news update.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you have any questions. Continuing our discussion, it's Boat Smart with Stefan Schmidt, and we're talking to one of his students here in the studio.
And I'm regular programming. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So here every Friday talking about boat stuff. Yeah, we have Cameron in here, and kind of went off script with some questions, but I want to ask you some questions that pertain to the classroom. Okay. So let's talk about what you would consider the best part about the Marine Service Technology class. Talk about what you get out of it, what you see as the best parts of it.
I mean, the best part of it is coming in every day, seeing everybody with a smile on their face, ready to work. It's just a great thing coming in. Usually how it works when we come in each day, we come in, sit down, go over what's going on in class, what we got to do that week. We get that done, and then we head out, go to work, start working on boats. I mean, we're always hands-on.
You have any projects that you really like working with?
No projects really the best project. They always end up having a little bit of problems with them. We had a couple boats come in, a couple 100-hour services, but something always happens. You always got to add a fuel filter or something like that.
Okay. A lot of times what you're learning is you get on a project and it should be minor or like it's just service or something. It usually adds up quicker, don't it? You start having to do more things to it.
Always.
You got a boat in there right now that you had to take something out of it. What was that?
Oh, we had to take a fuel tank out of a boat. That was a whole ordeal trying to get that out. First, you got to drain the fuel tank, get all the fuel out, figure out a place to put the fuel. And then you got to pull the fuel tank out the boat. And if it's glued in, it's going to be a problem trying to pull it out. But thank goodness the foam was water-filled and it just slid right out and we got the tank
yeah.
out.
That's real life experience that you're getting, Cameron. I don't know if people realize that we do real life jobs at George Stone. Mm-hmm. Pulling a fuel tank out of a boat, you're not going to get that at any other schools around our area or, you know, in this industry. Mm-hmm. Because so much of them are focused on the actual newer product and that kind of stuff. that you don't get this hands-on experience that the students are getting over there. And to pull a fuel tank out of a boat, they do it all the time in our industry. We do that. That's part of working on it. So you get some added education when you come to our classroom, don't you? You get added stuff that you wouldn't, that's not even in our really in our curriculum, but you get to do it.
Yeah.
And that's a great time. That's a great experience for the students to be able to do that kind of stuff, you know. So, and it's just, you get boats in there that have bad transoms in it. That boat, particular boat, had a bad transom. So we had to de-rig it, put new, you know, get it ready to go to the glass shop and that kind of stuff, too. Well, maybe you got a call, a question or something, you can call us today, 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620 is the phone number. Maybe you have a question for Cameron. Maybe you're interested in a class and you have a question. Hey, Cameron, how's it to come in as a new student or something like that, you know? Do you remember day one when you came into class?
I do remember day one.
Talk about that a little bit. I like people to hear about that.
So the first 2 weeks, you're sitting down, going over paperwork, making sure that you got everything in line. Getting all your normal certifications done. Once you get done with that, you're good to go. But first 2 weeks are a little bit slow. You're sitting down in the classroom or in the media room on the laptop. You're going over your OSHA stuff, making sure that you know what's going on, what to use, when to use it, what chemicals you can get involved with in that industry.
So, but did you feel welcome when you came into class?
I did feel very welcomed. Everybody was giving me a hand with whatever I was doing, trying to make sure I was good.
I like to think that everybody, you know, is a family kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody works well together. And I think that for the most part, that's true, you know. I do talk to Cameron a lot about the classroom and stuff and making a student that comes out of state, especially, and don't get me wrong, locals as well, you know, but somebody that comes so far away into our classroom. We have a student from Nebraska.
Yeah, we do.
In there right now as well. I've had them from Mississippi and North Alabama and different areas that come down and they literally move here for a short period of time to take our classes, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really neat to have that happen, you know, when the students hear about us from so far away.
Yeah,
you know?
It speaks volumes about the reputation of the program.
Yeah, so it's a lot of what we have with Yamaha and Mercury and Suzuki now. That are telling people out in industry what we do here in Pensacola at George Stone in the Marine Service class. So that they let them know that we do a good job, you know, and we take care of our students and we take care in their education and that kind of thing. So that's pretty cool. So what are your plans? We've only got about a minute or so left. Talk about your future. What are you planning on doing when you leave? What are you wanting to do?
Okay, after I finish up with Mr. Schmidt's class, I'm going to do the whole thing, go all the way through diesel, and then after that I'm going to go to diesel school. I'm still trying to figure out where I want to go. I can go through CAT or MTU. There's a couple of them around the area. There's one down all the way down in the bottom of Florida, and there's actually two up home that I was thinking about too for CAT.
Okay. You miss your home?
Just a little bit. Just the people.
Okay. Okay.
Not all really right. The area.
Yeah. It's a lot warmer down here, you know.
It is warmer down here.
Not everybody lives down here.
Yeah. So he's already thinking about his future, 19 years old, thinking about continuing your education, thinking about other, you know, methods of learning. And that's just great to see that from a 19-year-old, you know, and coming through our class and doing it. I think you're doing a great job, Cameron.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being in the class. I appreciate what you do for the class, trying to keep people, you know, engaged and stuff also, and working with the other students and stuff like that. So, you know, for your decision to come down here means a lot to me, you know, as an instructor, but also to the school as a whole and the industry, that you're willing to come in here, get a good education, and then get out in the industry and make something of yourself. So appreciate you coming in here today.
Thank you.
Are we going to continue on or are we done?
We got 20 seconds.
Okay, we got 20 seconds. Thank you all for listening today, and I'll be back in here. We'll talk more about hurricane boats next week.
All right, thank you.
All right.